everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2020, and you're listening to episode 176, which is a short pod blast that's part of a special series during the COVID-19 2020 quarantine. Today's guest is Dr. Clay Jones, who is an associate professor of Christian apologetics at Talbot Seminary, and he is also the chairman of the board of Ratio Christi, a university apologetics ministry. Clay is the author of the just-released book, Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. Clay, it's good to have you on.
Pleased to be with you, Melanie.
Well, I hope that this quarantine series is winding down. I don't really know. Some states are still quarantined, some aren't, but we wanted to offer our listeners just some short pod blasts with some encouragement from various different Christian Research Journal writers. But before I ask Clay about what he would like to talk to us about on this episode, I wanted to ask him, what has been the easiest and the hardest adjustment for you with sheltering in place?
Well, the easiest adjustment has been the fact that Gene and I spend almost every single day together anyway. I mean, we both have home offices, so she's in hers and I'm in mine. But I mean, we always have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together every single day. I have to say that the quality of the food, we're actually eating more comfort food. I think eating a little better. And she just made a split pea and ham soup that she's, as a matter of fact, going to post on Facebook. That was delicious. And so we're eating well, and that's been fun. It's been good. The hardest thing, well, I'm a pretty social person, and I like to go out to restaurants. I like to get together with friends, and that's difficult. We have done some virtual friending, but that's not the same thing.
Well, we don't want to make light of any very hard things that people are facing, including job loss and people that have come down with COVID-19 or the family member or somebody that they know. But there is a sense of that we're lamenting things that we used to do that we aren't able to easily do or we had taken for granted before we started this quarantine. So what is something small that you lament that you miss doing?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, something small that I lament, one of the biggest things I lament is that a lot of my speaking has been canceled. And I miss that. But when it comes to just regular things, I lament not being able to go to the store without a face mask on and having to be concerned about everything that I touch and using hand sanitizer like it was going out of style. Those are things that I lament.
So we are having you on this pod blast so that you can provide a word of encouragement or a word of just food for thought for some of our listeners as they are just sheltering in place and how should they view this from a Christian lens. So what is something that you'd like to encourage us with?
Well, I'd start off with just, I think it'd be helpful for people to realize why we're in this situation. This is a result simply of God, you know, Adam and Eve sin and God cursed the ground and enabling every kind of pestilence and disease you can imagine. I don't get into, as some pastors and preachers, famous preachers have done, and say, God is striking the world with a plague. I don't do that. Maybe God did it directly. Maybe he isn't. I don't do that. But I know one thing, what plague disease couldn't have been enabled by God looking at planet Earth and saying, I curse you. Now, as some positive words for the Christian, my first positive word is, this is very difficult. And of course, you know, I mean, the economy's difficult. Everybody's, you know, people, what, 26 million jobs have been lost. I'm not going to have my job in after October. August 15th. And so, you know, I don't know exactly how where all the money's coming in for me. That's difficult, but there's a benefit to this for everyone. And it is this, all this hardship and difficulty has a valuable benefit of unsettling our worldliness. Because, you know, the scripture says, do not love the world or the things of the world. For if anyone loves the world, love of the Father will not be in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And I just say, you know, to me, that's a warning label about the world. And I think we need to take it seriously. And I think we need to actually, in a sense, reflect on that and rejoice in the fact that this unsettles our worldliness, that it's harder, obviously, to love the world with all these difficulties going on, and it's threatening our worldliness. And that's a very good thing, because if you love the world, you're not going to love the Father. And so this helps the sincere Christian then say, you know what, I better learn to love God, and I better make sure my focus is correct, because you cannot trust in this world.
So when you think of things that are going on right now, and like we said, we don't want to make light of some of the serious circumstances, but even in just the everyday rhythms of life, you know, there's a lot of friends on Facebook that I see just mourning that and just feeling, okay, I've got, you know, cabin fever now, and I'm feeling discouraged, and you know, just every one day blends into the next, and I'm not getting out of my PJs or whatever it is. You know, what's bringing you hope during this time? You know, just even in the dailiness of just waking up and just here you are at home again.
That's a great question. And I think that there's two things. One, God, you know, the Lord Jesus promised to that our needs would be met, that he would take care of us. And so in our daily lives, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know that he's going to take care of us. The biggest thing, and this is one of the biggest things in my books, in my last book, you know, Why Does God Allow Evil? I had three chapters on it. The last three chapters were about heaven. In my book that was just released Tuesday, Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It, the last two chapters are on heaven and on eternal life and the glory that, you know, what it's going to mean for us to be glorified. Because it's not just not loving this present world. Because I think the old statement, nature hates a vacuum, is somewhat true. We can't just not love the world. We need to love something else instead. And what we need to do is we need to love his appearing. And so when Peter said in 1 Peter, he says, be self-controlled and sober-minded so that you can set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, we need to be focused on the fact that we're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. When this first started about 6 weeks ago, just barely started, Sean McDowell and I did a podcast together about it. And this woman calls up and she says, you know, I've got all kinds of underlying conditions and I'm afraid if I get this, they're not going to get me a ventilator. This is before when they didn't think there was enough ventilators. She said, what can I do? And my major solace to her was, whatever happens to you, because at that time I had no idea. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're never going to know death. Jesus says that those who are in him, he says, will not taste death. Well, what in the world is that about? I mean, obviously Jesus knew we were going to physically die. He knew that, you know, he wasn't living in denial. He knew our bodies were going to die. What Jesus means then when he says you will not know or taste death, that you're going to be transferred right into the next world seamlessly. In fact, I like the way Dallas Willard put it. He says, you know, it may be once you die, it may be a minute or two before you realize you're dead. You may have to look back and see your body in a mangled car or lying on an operating table or something like that. And I think that's true. I think that's what Jesus means about will not taste death, that we're going to transition immediately. There's not going to be like a three or four second delay in your consciousness just going out, wow, and then coming back, the lights coming back on. You're never going to know that experience. Your body may die, but your soul, the real you, will never pass away, and you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And eternity, as I like to put it, eternity, if eternity is true, it will dwarf our suffering to insignificance. So for me, that's the Christian hope. And Peter, as I just said, says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Because if you set your hope fully on the grace to be given you in Jesus, that's something you can never lose. You'll never lose that. Nobody can take it away from you. The economy may go up or down. Your 401k may go up or down. You don't know whether your kids are going to do well or not, or, you know, how long you're going to be healthy. You don't know those things. But if your hope is fully set on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed, then your joy is going to be based on something that you cannot lose. And so that's my encouragement. Much of my ministry since 1982 has been about focusing on heaven and helping people to focus on heaven. And by the way, I'm forming a nonprofit, and I gave the nonprofit the name. I'm not trying to do actually a pitch here or anything, but it just occurred to me. The nonprofit's name is Live for Eternity. because I really, if you say, what do you want Christians to do, Clay? I want Christians to focus on eternity. I want them to live for eternity. I want them to think about, you know, I'm not going to die. I'm going to go on and on and on. So anyway, that's my, there's the biggest encouragement I think any Christian can give at any time. One, yes, he's going to take care of us in the meantime, but regardless of what happens to this unstable world, we're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever.
And I think a lot of Christians would intellectually say, I totally agree with that. I believe in that. But how do I address when I wake up in the middle of the night and I've lost my job along with dozens of millions of people and I don't know what my prospects are, and you just have that sense of dread and you look at the clock and it's 1 a.m. and it won't be day for a while. How do you encourage the Christian who finds himself in that situation?
Thank you for asking me that question, because I love that. Well, you know, I wrote a blog a couple months ago entitled Why I'm Leaving Talbot School of Theology, and I'm losing my position at Talbot over a very minor matter. I'm not going to discuss it now. It's not appropriate. But and so I know I'm facing, hey, this is not a wonderful time to not have a secure job lined up for you, for me in the years to come. That's going away. And so I've awakened in the middle of the night, not often, but a few times I've awakened in the middle of the night. And of course, all of these thoughts and fears can come rushing into your head at 1:30 or 3:37 a.m. or whatever time it is. It can come rushing into your head. And I learned to do something. In fact, I write about it in the Christian Research Journal. If you look at my article, What is the Unpardonable Sin in the Christian Research Journal, I write about this there. And what I learned to do, I thought I committed the unpardonable sin when I was 14. I thought, just before I would turn 15, I thought, and now I've blown it. I'm going to go to hell. Of course, because I really believed Christianity was true, the idea that I was going to go to hell was horrifying. So what I did is I memorized verses about that assured me of my salvation. Like John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be judged, but is passed from death to life. And what I did, I typed out a page of these, and I would recite them to myself in a loop whenever I would get insecure. And two things happened as a result of this. One, I no longer feared that I'd committed the unpardonable sin. This took a while, though. It wasn't like, okay, I did that one time and it was over. But as the weeks went by, this was no longer a fear of mine. And that was huge. Well, okay, now what we're now today, wake up at 3:37 in the morning and fears come into my mind. And what am I going to do? And what's happening with life? And what I've, the verses I like right now is trust Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And I'll just recite that in a loop in my mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. And I'll recite it in a loop. Maybe I'll throw in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you, or other verses. And I'll just recite these to myself in a loop. And I can't tell you, but not every single time, but often all of a sudden I'm back asleep. And I wake up the next morning and went, well, that was good. I'm reciting scripture that encouraged me in the middle of the night when, you know, fears started coming in my head. And, you know, by the way, when I was an insecure 14, 15 year old, when thought that what I was really an undisciplined person, I think my GPA was about 1.9, and I think the teachers were being generous. But not only did it give me a security of my salvation, but it did something else. I learned that I could control my thoughts, and I started learning as a 15-year-old that how to have a disciplined mind. And so what we need to do is we need to just simply, I encourage people, find some verses that are really encouraging to yourself. And then if you wake up in the middle of the night, quote them to yourselves in a loop. And I'll bet you a lot of times you're going to go just right back to sleep. And that's my, there's my secret. And it's not really a secret, but you get the point.
Well, thanks for that encouraging word. And I think specifically that will also encourage many parents out there, because you were talking about doing the spiritual discipline back when you were a teenager, and all these decades have gone by and you still use that to encourage yourself. So I think that's very encouraging to me, and I'm sure all of our listeners. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions that are related to the quarantine. So the first one is, of course, you mentioned you like going to restaurants, and right now we can't dine in. So it'll slowly be rolling out in different parts of the country. But as soon as you can go to a restaurant to eat out, where are you going to go?
Wow. Well, that's a good question. First thing that comes to mind is Seasons 52. Jeannie and I really like Seasons 52, and we meet friends there a lot. There's a lot of restaurants in the Dana Point Harbor, but so the first thing that came to mind was Seasons 52.
And what's your favorite dish that you like to eat there?
Oh, wow. I love their scallops. I their filet mignon. I like it all. We find it to be a consistent place. We really enjoy the restaurant and they're in Costa Mesa.
And of course, toilet paper shortages are getting better, but I have been asking people at your house, do you hang toilet paper over or under?
Oh, there's really only one way to do it, and everybody that says differently is wrong. You hang it over, of course. I'm kidding. But anyway, in my opinion, yes, it's over.
I think I've only had so far one person say under, so it's the minority, but it's out there. Well, thank you so much, Clay, for being a guest on this special pod blast for the Postmodern Realities podcast.
A pleasure to be with you as always, Melanie. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Dr. Clay Jones, who's given us a short word of encouragement during the COVID-19-2020 quarantine. He is the author of a few books, including the just-released book, Immortal, How the Fear of Death Drives Us and What We Can Do About It. Thank you for listening.